on ABC Radio.
This is The Big Fish
with Scott Levi.
Ahoy there, coming up another episode of The Big Fish, jam-packed like my tackle box this morning. First up, we meet Coffs Harbour's ultimate tackle rat, Kendall Kramer, and a champion angler from the big event last week that we spoke about down on the south coast, the Flatty X tournament. We'll find out all about it and a few tips and techniques on catching those beautiful flathead. Kendall's off to Hinds Dam this morning as well for another big Women's Recreational Fishing League event. We'll hear all about that, chasing the bass. Stinker's back with a great story about teaching a whole preschool full of three-year-olds how to fish. It was like trying to wrestle slimy eels to get them to stand still and throw a line in, but he had a bit of fun. He does it every year. I think he needs to lie down for a year before he does it again. And also coming up, a worrying story about the Kudoa parasite turning up in our waters with Craig McGill, all coming up on The Big Fish. Last week on The Big Fish, Kendall Kramer and Laurie Anderson from the Women's Recreational Fishing League joined us to talk about getting ready and pre-fishing for the big Flatty X event on the south coast at Lake Conjola. And big news, Kendall has scooped the pool. I believe you were the champion angler, is that right?
Yes, Scotty, I was. Also alongside Nikki Bryant from Purple Patch Fishing. Her and I actually tied equal first with the same string length and the same number of fish, so it was an epic battle between her and I all weekend.
Take us through how they measure this, because it's a catch and release tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So basically what happens is you measure your fish on the map and you upload it onto the app, and you have a collective, they call it a string length, so all of your fish, if they were lined up in a row, and you put a tape measure to the end and send it up to the other end, That's the score that you'd get overall for all three sessions. So we ended up with the same number of fish and the same string length overall by the end of the three sessions.
That's remarkable, isn't it? Exactly the same to the millimetre.
Yep, exactly the same. And the only thing that set us apart was Nikki took me out a little bit on count back by 12 minutes. So she did end up taking home the trophy, but we are both enjoying the prize of an excellent fishing trip through the Snowies, and we're going to be learning to fly fish with some really professional people, learning to tie our own flies, match the hatch, and learn to cast a fly rod, which is going to be interesting for me because I've never done that before.
Wow, that's great. What a great prize. What a great fishing prize. It's so good. And that's through the Women's Recreational Fishing League, the Flatty X tournament at Lake Conjola last weekend. And when we spoke to Kendall and Laurie Anderson from the WRFL, they were pre-fishing and getting ready to go. So that obviously set you in good stead. And you said you'd been practicing at beautiful Urunga, which is gorgeous flathead habitat, isn't it?
Oh, you bet. We've got lots of beautiful flathead in the Urunga River. And, yeah, we stopped into Shoalhaven Marine on the way home. Way down through to Lake Conjola, and we told them what we were doing, and they, you know, were quite forthcoming with some local knowledge and tips. And I've also had a chat to my friend Len from Garmin, and he has told me a few things as well. So that got us started, and we took it out, had a little pre-fish, and we didn't find any flathead, unfortunately, in that little pre-fish. We found a whole heap of tailor. But that wasn't going to help us, I'm afraid. So I was actually quite lucky to grab the first two mentees on my boat in the first two sessions were actually quite local to the area, and they'd been fishing there for the previous few weeks beforehand. So I had some quite helpful insider knowledge into where things were happening on that little lake, which was super handy. And I would dare say that that's what helped me bring my fishing up and really take away with the win, obviously, with Nikki.
Yeah, look, we'll talk about Nikki in a moment because I've been following the Facebook page of the Women's Recreational Fishing League and their messenger group, their forum, which is just brilliant. Everyone's so helpful and informative and supportive. It's just an amazing way to run a social media platform. So different. I mean, there's so much trolling in fishing, and I don't mean putting a spread of lures out the back and driving along. So it's lovely to see the way the women behave in that forum. And Nikki, she's just a shining light, isn't she? She is a really amazing angler.
Oh, yeah. You know what? She's got a lot of experience on the water. She does a lot of time fishing in the ABT down in Victoria and stuff like that. She loves her brim fishing, and she's actually really, really good at it. And she does bring a wealth of knowledge to our crew, which has been really, really nice. And especially our mentees that come through, you know, they've been following her on social media as well. And when they get drawn out to go with her, it's like they're going fishing with a celebrity. They just love it.
Just brilliant. It's the Big Fish, and we're speaking with Kendall Kramer, who was equal best angler. And, of course, the mentees, the women that are with the WRFL stalwarts, they get prizes and things as well. It sounds like you really lucked out drawing a local crew on your little green electric boat too. And was it good enough to get you to all the spots, the battery life stay there on that electric outboard?
Oh, definitely. The battery life is fantastic. It definitely lasts all day and stuff like that. But I guess the thing is when the wind comes up a little bit, that can help you to probably need a little bit more time to get back to base when you need to go home. So we are running the 7.5E Avator at the moment. So we're going to be upgrading when that's possible for Mercury to hook us up with that. But it is just like a trolling speed at the moment. So we're just playing around with that in our Bass Electric Tours, and we threw it into Lake Conjola just to give it a test. But yeah, it doesn't fly, but when we get our new motor, that probably is going to send us through the roof.
Well, it passed the test, didn't it? I mean, to be equal first with the length of flathead caught, that shows that it's certainly had no impact on the amount of fish you've caught. Can you remember the exact length? How long was the string nose to tail?
So first of all, I didn't actually fish the tournament on the electric boat. Laurie Anderson did, and she had the mentee on her boat, Jessica Bale, who actually caught the biggest flathead for the weekend. And that flathead, that came in at 81 centimetres, and it was an epic fish. I was actually in my own boat next to it when that happened, and I tell you what, that head on that thing, it was like 3 miles wide.
That's a monster, isn't it? Well, that's a winning fish on the electric boat, proving that you can sneak up on them. It probably is an advantage to be so stealthy.
It is, actually. It's epic. Like, you know, obviously if you run right over the top of the fish's head, they're probably still going to spook, but it's much better than a petrol outboard, because there is, like you say, there's not much noise at all. And that's the reason that we're allowed to put this boat into the Bass Electric Tours, because they're all on dams, like Hinge Dam, where I'm headed to today. And they are electric-only waterways. We're not allowed to have any outboards that are powered by petrol in there anyway. So it's a really versatile little fishing vessel, and we're really lucky to have it. And just on that, the string length that you were asking about before, Scotty, we had a 468 centimetres was Nikki and I's string length.
Wow, that's a lot of flathead. That's fantastic. So where are you heading today? It's another electric-only event on a water supply dam?
Yeah. So me and Karen Van Vale, she's our Vice President of the Women's Recreational Fishing League. I'm on my way from Coffs Harbour, where I live, to go pick her up. She's in McLean, and we're headed up to the Gold Coast to Hinge Dam. And we're competing in the round two of the Bass Electric Tour on Saturday. So we're going to pre-fish this afternoon, and we're going to fish tomorrow. And hopefully we can find ourselves some bass to put in the little electric boat this weekend.
Yeah, I've fished out of a kayak on Hinge Dam. It's a beautiful dam. It's a water supply dam for the Gold Coast in the hinterland. It's green, it's lush, it's a lovely clear water dam with big weed beds and quite deep as well. In the wintertime, the bass do go deep, and a sinking line with a fly. I found that very effective there. A little bass vampire, a little clouser actually was what I used at the time. And once you find the schools at this time of year, maybe it's a bit early for them schooling up, but you can really get cricket score numbers in there. It's a lovely bass impoundment.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it actually. So we've been chatting with one of our local women's rec ladies that live up there and fish it all the time by the name of Carly. And she's going to come out with us today to have a pre-fish along with Bo, who's the fella that is a part of the running of the tournament. He's going to come and have a pre-fish with us as well. So I've heard a lot of people say that it's quite easy to get distracted from the fishing up there because it's so beautiful to look at the scenery. So I'm going to have to, keep my wits about me and focus.
Wow, this is a real advantage, isn't it? The Women's Recreational Fishing League having such a network now, that beautiful online forum at the Facebook Messenger page where you all share ideas and advice, very open, very honest, very fair. You get an advantage from this community, don't you?
Oh, most definitely. And we had the same thing, like I mentioned, when I went to Conjola. I had two local ladies on my boat and they were so ready to come forward with the information that we needed to take out a few fish on that lake, which is really awesome. And yeah, like you say, Karen put up a little notice in the Queensland specific group if anybody was local to the area and was wanting to share their knowledge and come out and even have a pre-fish with us. And Carly was straight up there to say, yep, I know what I can tell you and I'd love to come for a pre-fish. So it's excellent. And like you said before, having an open, really supportive community compared to a lot of the things that you see on Facebook and Instagram these days, somebody will post up a question and they may be new to fishing. Maybe they've never picked up a rod before and they're asking for a fish ID of something that, somebody who's fished for a long time might be obvious to them what it is, but, they get chastised, they get beaten down, and it's not a great community to be in when you don't feel like you can really express how you're feeling about a scenario or ask questions or any of that stuff. People are very quick to give up fishing if they feel like they can't break into the community and feel supported. So that's what we're trying to do here, Scotty, is just to make sure that women can come and ask us questions and they don't feel like they have to know everything. So we're trying to bring people up to the level where they feel comfortable with fishing on their own or even with other men and feel like that they're not being a burden to anybody and that they actually have the skills to come through in a competition and maybe even take it out.
It's going to happen, no doubt about it. It's the big fish. We're speaking with Kendall Kramer, equal winner of the Conjola Flatty X event last weekend. We caught them in the pre-fish with Laurie Anderson, whose boat, the electric boat, took out the largest flathead for the event as well, an 81-centimetre crocodile, a beautiful fish caught and released, and that's going to add to your stringer length. Of course, it was done on cumulative length, and I've done the maths on your captures. So if you're looking at 36 centimetres as being the legal length for a flathead, if you only caught 36-centimetre flathead, that would have been 13 flathead exactly divided into your legal length, but obviously that didn't work out that way. Tell us about some of the fish you caught.
Yeah, no, it was definitely not all 36 centimetres. I can put it down to that. My biggest one was 64.5 centimetres that day. I got a 51 as well. And then we followed with some littler ones after that. So all weekend we had 32 fish caught from all of the different boats. So it was actually more than my original calculation. I went through and checked all the results. And, 32 fish from all of our boats in the comp, which was a really great result because sometimes you can have a comp like Laurie and Karen had the other weekend in Maroon Dam where, you have 26 boats and get less than half that in the number of fish. So it was an excellent fishy tournament, which was really nice to see. And it gave our mentees an excellent experience. And specifically on my boat, I had a lady by the name of Karen Locke, and she hadn't actually wet a line for 20 years and didn't even really like fishing, but she's a mate of Joe Starling's, our president. And she was really trying to understand why Joe's so obsessed with fishing and why it's really helped her through some struggles in her life and things like that. And anyway, so Karen decided that she'd come along and she'd be a mentee in our tournament. And it was so exciting because I got her on my last session and I was already feeling confident. I knew where the fish were and I knew how to catch them. I found out the pattern and I was really confident. And we went back and we started. And anyway, she caught more fish than me in that session. And it was amazing. So she was so excited. And it was just so beautiful to see somebody's passion just unlock in their head and watch how excited she is now. And now she's gone out and bought her first rod and reel combo for herself. And she's teaching her nieces and nephews how to fish. And it's just beautiful.
No, it is just beautiful. It's the Big Fish with Kendall Kramer, hot off the Flatty X tournament at Conjola, which is a beautiful flathead habitat, a lovely estuary indicative of many of those great estuaries on the south coast. What did you think of the waterway? And tell us about the where the fish were sitting and the tactics and the habitat and terrain.
Yeah, so the waterway is beautiful. It's in the basin that's closest to the opening to the ocean. It's very clear. You could be sitting in up to 4 metres and clearly see the bottom. There's some good oyster leases, and that's about where the biggest flathead was caught on our little electric boat with Jessica Bale and Laurie Anderson. So we actually headed up into the western corner at a place called Fisherman's Paradise, and I think if anybody's ever been there, then you probably know where that is. So we were up the back. We went through a couple of banks in the first session, and we found the bank that was working, and it was up in trees with a bit of shade, bit of structure, a little jetty, some nice little water, and it was murkier water. So the floodies were obviously liking having a little bit of shelter up there. And the ones that we pulled out were quite dark in colour, so it looks like they'd probably been up there for a little while just kind of chilling out. So basically what I did was I had my electric motor, and I was kind of trying to fish really slow as opposed to really fast. So basically what I did was I'd spot lock at a nice distance from the bank, at a bit of structure, some trees, a bit of shade, and we were casting from far left, you know, probably trying to hit like a meter apart at a time to far right, and then we'd pick up another rod with another lure on it and try that lure. And more often than not, within those 10 or 15 casts from both of us, we'd pick up a fish. And then we did find, though, that once we'd picked up that fish, we did need to move on. So I think that little flathead was swimming down there and telling all his little family not to eat anything for a while because I'd spooked him, that's for sure. So we moved on, and same thing, more often than not, in our next little spot, we'd pull up a fish. So we really needed to fish slow. We had to put in the time, putting the cast in the right spot, right up against the bank.
So it was a cast and retrieve rather than trolling. You were getting it up in between the flats and the weeds and that habitat where the flathead, you know, ambush the bait fish. What sort of lures were you using?
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a casting tour. No trolling was happening on my boat. So I was using, and my mentees were using, like little chubby crankbaits. That was one thing that was working, just like probably a medium diver. And also the soft plastics. We were using the Crush City Rapala, actually, the little prawn in motor oil colour. And with just a nice 112 jig. So it was a nice low falling because we were in waters that were not tidal, so... Well, it is tidal, but because we're up in the western corner, it was very slow moving. So we didn't need to battle with any tidal current, really. So we needed that really slow falling. And we were finding that the natural colours, like the browns and a little bit of bright orange sometimes, or bright red, was working for the fish. So those were the two things.
Yeah, those little crankbaits, they're so small too. You've got to throw them on very light gear. And if you get your 60 plus centimetre flathead, that's a really good tussle, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. And you know what? Jessica Bale, who caught our biggest flathead, the 81-centimetre, she caught it on something like 6-pound line, I'm pretty sure. It was an epic catch, like trophy fish every day of the week with the gear that she was using. It was a meritorious fish, let me tell you.
And all 30 of those fish in the Flatty X in Lake Conjola, they're still swimming there. If our South Coast listeners from Conjola or Fisherman's Paradise, which is a great name, are listening in, none taken out of the water. It's interesting, too, the tides were pretty big last weekend. We had tides up around the one plus metre, 1.3 metre. So you're saying way up at Fisherman's Paradise, it really wasn't having a great impact on where they were lying.
No, not for us, definitely not. And I think we were fighting with the wind more than we were fighting with any kind of current or tide. And it wasn't even really that windy up in that area. It was a little bit windier down towards the mouth. So, we didn't really have to fight with the tide at all, which was really easy to pick a light lure and let it sink and pull it on back in a slow little retrieve.
Yeah, it's a very, very great finesse way to fish for them. They're great fish, and it's a lovely waterway. That plenty of room for all of the competitors. You weren't shoulder to shoulder, because you can go right down near the mouth, of course, can't you? That real clear sandy water that you were talking about.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, when we were coming over the banks and stuff, because we were camped down near the mouth in the park in Gina. And anyway, so when we'd come back for our session ending, You would come back over and you'd start to see the bottom at about 3-3.5 metres. And when you're coming out over those sandy flats, you've seen the flathead spook off and swim away. And there was probably 3 or 4 that you would see just in a stretch of maybe 100 metres that would swim off. So it's a very healthy little waterway for flathead down there, which is really excellent.
The Kallang and the Bellinger and Urunga, do you think that the flathead behave similarly in Conjola as they do in those fantastic waters where you've cut your teeth catching flathead on lures and soft plastics?
Yeah, it is relatively similar, but I guess it's just always about feeling out a different waterway and figuring out what those fish are going to want on any one day, because you know what? They might want the lures that I had on that day, but the next day, maybe they didn't want that anymore. So, you really just have to put in the time.
Did you get any down in the clearer water down in the sand flats near the mouth?
Personally, I didn't, but that's where the big boy was caught. Well, big girl, I should say.
Big girl, yeah. Oh, look, it's great to get the report. Good luck on Hins Dam. That'll be really interesting for you. And good luck with your prize of learning to fly fish in the Snowy Mountains. I reckon you'll absolutely be hooked by that. We won't mention the name of the place, but I know that you are the biggest tackle rat in Coffs Harbour. You're always at that giant that giant tackle store on the Pacific Highway. It's an absolute monster, and they have a bit of fly gear too, so that's going to just add to your arsenal now that you're into fly fishing. Give Cherie Forbes a call, the great fly tyer on the Central Coast. She'll set you straight, because I reckon once you've had a go at the trout, you want to put it into practice in the salt as well.
Oh, look, Scotty, I'm very excited about it. I was so stoked when I won, because Joe's actually going to come around. And as we know, Joe's an excellent fly fisher, and she's going to come with us and have a fish after we've done our education with our professionals. Yeah, I think the boys in that little shop there that you're speaking of, they see me walk in the door and they're like, oh, she's back again. She's home.
Coffs Harbour's number one tackle rat, Kendall Kramer. Tight lines at Hins Dam this weekend. Thanks for joining us and giving us the big update on Lake Conjola. Appreciate your time. Have a good one.
Oh, thanks, Scotty. I'll talk to you soon and update you on how we went.
Yeah, and take care on the road.
Will do. Thank you.
Went fishing last Sunday and I caught a smelt. Put him in the pan and the fire he felt. Of all the smells I ever smelt.
Well?
I never smelt a smelt like that smelt.
As the salmon swam up the river to spawn,
yeah,
he said to himself with a great big yawn,
ho ho,
the next time I come up this way,
I'm gonna make the trip in a Chevrolet. Ho ho.
Thank you.
Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Here comes Stinker with his fishing tips. Some hot advice for your fishing trip. Where to find him? What's the bait?
Are you catching any, mate?
Ahoy there, Stinker.
Yeah, hey, g'day, Scott.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, good. It's been a beautiful week. Too good. The weather is just perfect. I guess, you know, fishermen are like farmers, really. There's always something. You're always talking about the weather, but the weather here in Port Stephens over the last week has just been glorious, really.
And you had the little ones on Little Beach. What a story.
Oh, dear, oh, me. I do it every year, Scott. I take Keringle Preschool, all the kids and their parents, and we go down to Little Beach. It's a boat launching in a site in Nelson Bay. It's safe and it's calm. It's out of the wind. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, we went down there last Sunday. Rising top of the tide, perfect. And I was got there at 8:45, and there was no one there. And I'm thinking, I've got the wrong date. Something's wrong. Then at about 8:55, they started coming through the coral trees and jumping and singing and dancing. And then they descended upon the beach and they said, right, let's rumble. These are all three-year-olds and four-year-olds. Have you ever tried to get them to sit down and say, righto, good morning, everybody? That doesn't happen. They're all over the place. They're looking at the boats, the birds. They're throwing stones. They're digging holes. So I thought, right, I should have learnt in the last 20 years. I said, right, let's get into it. That was the only thing I said. Good, let's get into it. I'm Stinker, let's rock. That was the start of it.
It'd be like trying to herd cats, Stinker, or make sense of a bucket full of worms to try to get them in a straight line. But were they catching any, mate?
Well, I took the first little fella down. I mean, you've got to start at the end of the line and then you separate them by about 2 metres, and then by the other end of the line, which is about as long as a cricket pitch, you can, but it takes a while to do. But the first little guy, he threw out, and within 5 seconds of it hitting the water, he had a prawn. There were prawn and worms were the main bait, but the prawns, oh dear, they'd seen better days, the prawns, but never mind. Well, the worms had too.
The prawns had been in the freezer at the servo for a couple of years, had they?
And they looked tired. The prawns were very tired and the worms had looked like they gave up. They'd just given up. Anyway, this little fella pulls out a whiting. Well, all the other kids think, well, this is so simple, you know. Well, let's do this. So I lined them up and then put bait on all there, changed their hooks to make sure. Some kids had hooks that you would catch a shark with, you know. I mean, they've got no idea. They've got absolutely no idea. And in lots of cases, neither do their parents. That's fine. That's what you expect. And 50-50 boys and girls makes no difference. They're all into it. They've all got equal amount of enthusiasm, equal amount of ability, and raring to go. So off we go. Well, the others didn't have the same luck that the first guy did, but I tell you what, we drained the little beach of toads. There would not be one puff of toad left in there because they were coming up the beach in their rear lamp and squealing with delight to see this puff of toad, which most would swear and curse at. But as far as the kids concerned, they thought this was a fantastic achievement. And when it all boils down, Scott, it is. It is. I mean, it doesn't matter. Kids don't need to catch big fish to have big fun. That's an old Stinkerism. You know, everybody, parents and men particularly, are always focused on catching the biggest. You know, it's got to be the biggest. And you never see a photo of a fisherman with the littlest fish. You always see him with the biggest. Well, kids don't care. They simply don't care.
And it's really interesting, if you caught a big flathead or something, you say, oh, yeah, that's okay. But when you catch a little toad and give it a poke and it does its trick to turn itself into a golf ball.
They all ended up in this bucket where they've met all their relatives who they probably haven't seen for a long time, you know? Anyway,
but it does,
as long as they were swimming and as long as they wriggled on the end of the line, well, that's the end of the story. Well, that it lasted for about maybe 10 minutes. And then a couple of them got a bit weary and started digging holes and throwing rocks and then lay their reel in the sand, you know, and lost total interest. One bloke jumped in the water and then they throw a line across it, you know. And but it just went on and on for about an hour and a half. And it, like, it's nonstop. I'm going from one to the other, one to the other, trying to keep them happy. And really, it's great. And when I'm finished, after an hour and a half, I went home and I got home about 10:45 and I sat down and I said, I've had it. I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. But it was great fun. But you know what, Scott? I really would like to see more girls continue into fishing. I'm not seeing it. It may be in other areas that people talk about, but it's certainly not in Port Stephens.
Well, we know that they're out there. We had Kendall Kramer on the program earlier on and Laurie Anderson from Up the Hunter, who are both part of the Women's Recreational Fishing League, and they're trying to change those perceptions and also give women a chance to do it all. I think that's one of the big problems, often people trying to get their partner or whoever into fishing, and they back the boat for them and they put the bait on for them and they pick the lures for them and go to the tackle shop for them and do everything for them. But the women want to be self-reliant and self-proficient, and I think that's where people like Kendall, who we heard from earlier, are gold, because they can show women that this is something that they can achieve and do. It's very doable, isn't it, Stinker?
I heard Kendall and I thought, this is a breath of fresh air and it needs, and fishing for girls to stay in fishing needs an injection and of enthusiasm. And Kendall and the other lady, they had it, and I'd like them to bring it to Port Stephens, and I'd like to see my daughter was a cracker. She was, well, she's 40-something now, but when she was six or seven, she was terrific. She was great fun. She'd be out there fishing and everything, putting on the worms. She'd do everything herself. But then off she went to ballet. Oh, I'm thinking, what? She's going to be better off in fishing than ballet. Though I don't think there's any future in ballet. But anyway, some parents.
I'm sure there are few who make it to the Sydney Opera House, Stinker.
I'll tell you what, you can count them on one finger. But maybe,
It's very tough. Very tough game. It's like playing cricket for Australia or something. Nadia Taylor's another one. She's an excellent fisherwoman who's a regular on the program too. Nadia's lovely. There are a few out there, but I think it's slowly changing. Hopefully, you know, mums can inspire kids, because it's usually been dad doing the inspiring. And what about when you had them all at high school, Stinker? It was a co-ed high school. You had about 50% girls with boys. Did any of them carry on? Because a lot of the lads who you taught and you took them all down to fish, a lot of them have been lifelong fishers, haven't they?
Yeah, well, there's a good example, because a lot of the boys have, well, now they're men and they've got their own families and their families are going fishing too. And I noticed a few of them encouraged their daughters to go fishing, which is fantastic. But it's not a 50-50 rollout. It wouldn't be, they'd be lucky to be 10% of the fishers here that, I wouldn't even think that. But they all start off with such enthusiasm and promise, and then we lose them along the way. And I'd like to keep them involved. I mean, I've taken ladies fishing, and they don't demand what the men do. Like I said earlier, the men want to catch the biggest and the most. The women are quite happy to enjoy the experience and catch fish. That's the aim of the exercise: catch a couple of fish. But they don't. It's not that important that it has to be the biggest and the best. So, yeah, I think if we could get those two ladies to come to Port Stephens and we can rally up all the families here and bring their girls along, and let's get stuck right into it. Because Port Stephens, if they like to come and have a look, It's got more to offer than anywhere I've ever been. It's just a sensational joint, this is.
There's one that springs to mind who loves fishing, famous Australian novelist Di Morrissey. She's a good mate of yours, and Di loves the fishing, doesn't she?
She does. Di does love fishing, and she'd be listening to this program this morning. Good morning, Di. She'd be listening up there as she tunes in every week, and she's caught some thumpers too. But she just enjoys the experience. You see, that's what it is. Fishing's an experience. And if you catch a nice fish, well, of course, that's a bonus. But to get out there with the family or whoever and just enjoy time together, now we're getting close to the mark. So that's what it's all about. And I'd like to see more of them involved and less involved in other things. It's got so much to offer. Fishing has so much to offer.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful way to commune with nature. I think you're spot on, Stinker, and we'll continue to talk to great fisherwomen on The Big Fish, and we'll catch you next week. Tight lines, mate.
Hello, Scott.
The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
People, what it's all about. You catch a catfish, I'll catch a trout. Fishing in the dark, fishing in the dark. Come on now, baby, we'll go fishing in the dark. Some folks fish in the broad daylight. I'd rather wait till the moon is bright to go fishing in the dark, fishing in the dark. Come on now, baby, we'll go fishing in the dark. Went down to the river just to have some fun. Saw some pretty fish, is gonna get me some. Fishing in the dark, I might take two. Fishing in the dark. Well, come on now, baby, we'll go fishing in the dark. The funny thing about Deacon Brown, never got lucky till the sun went down. Fishing in the dark, fishing in the dark. Come on now, baby, we'll go fishing in the dark. Fish a while. I told my boss, I told him so. I would stop fishing, but I can't say no. Fishing in the dark, fishing in the dark. Come on now, baby, we'll go fishing in the dark. Come on now, baby, we'll go fishing in the dark.
This is The Big Fish on ABC Radio.
Reports of water up to 29 degrees off the coast as far down as Marimbula has a lot of fishers a bit worried, and Craig McGill, who probably cleans and eats more fish and catches more fish than anyone I know, it's having an impact with a parasite, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Yeah, no, crazy warm temperatures. I remember early in the season they did forecast, what they're calling a marine heat wave, and we've certainly got that. It was pretty warm last year, but this year's just gone through the roof. And it's been causing this parasite called Kudoa, which is a microscopic parasite, that infects the flesh of a numerous species, kingfish, dollies. Even some of the New Zealand boys have been saying their snapper have been getting it, which is unusual. It doesn't normally hit the demersal fish so much. It's more in the pelagic stuff. But even things like mud crabs and lobsters and prawns can get it. Yeah, and it's been prominent this year. I've had more. When the fish gets it, it's a funny thing. You can eat it raw. It's not harmful to humans at all. So you can eat it raw, and if you eat the fish sashimi, you won't even notice that it's got it. There's no way of telling when you catch the fish. The fish looks perfectly fine, although some people are saying some of the fish appear a bit thin. I have noticed that in some, but I've also noticed that in kingfish that haven't had it, so it's not necessarily an indicator. But as soon as you put the heat on the flesh, it just goes to liquid. And best case scenario, it's like mashed potato consistency. Worst case, I tried to sous vide some kingfish. You know that method where you do it in a bag and you submerse it in the hot water and cook it for a while?
Nice like that, yeah.
Yeah, I tried to do that, and I literally got a bag of fluid back. The kingfish literally turned to liquid. It was crazy, and it's really prominent this year. As I said, I've caught more in the last two seasons than I have in 30 years combined fishing.
It's interesting, isn't it, because I'd never really come across it in kingfish, but you'd talk to people who caught kingfish north of the Tweed who would say, they're no good because they're mushy. And this is what they're talking about. Kodoa is a microscopic parasite found in several marine fish species worldwide. Enzymes produced by these parasites can make fish flesh soft or even gel-like. And it can be found in all parts of the world. It's a global parasite. I was reading about it here in Norwegian mackerel. So it may not be temperature related, but it could be the fact that the East Coast current is coming down so far and it's bringing it with it, perhaps.
Yeah. Look, that's a possibility. I'm not sure how much science has been done on it, but as you said, the boys up north, I know people that won't even target kings up there because it's that common that it's not worth bringing them home. I actually posted something online about it and I got a lot of responses. We got 130 responses to this, so it's obviously something that's, you know, people have noticed it. One guy said that an old commercial fisherman told him that there's a little trick they used to do when they'd bring a kingfish in. They push their finger just behind the dorsal fin onto the flesh and push it in a bit. And if it doesn't spring back out, you know the fish has got the kudoa. If the flesh is the normal sort of consistency and it springs back out, you know it hasn't got it. But if the indent stays there, you can be pretty sure it's got it. I've been experimenting with that. I caught a couple of fish the other day that I tried that. They both seemed okay based on that test. And I brought them home and I did a little microwave oven sample test and they seemed okay. So maybe that's a technique. I'll let you know more about that once I've done some more experimentation on it. But the problem with that is that another guy piped up and said, well, he's done microwave test samples on fish with his that have been okay, but then when he's actually gone and cooked them properly on the barbecue or pan, they've still fallen apart. So there's a lot of unknowns about this. I also noticed a story in the ABC recently about an oyster farmer down at Marimbula who had to shut his operation down because the water temperature had got that high in the estuary that it was causing some sort of major problem with these oysters. So, you know, this is a bit more widespread than we think.
And had you seen much of it before this season, the kodoa, or any of it before this season?
Maybe once a year, not even that. And that was some years you wouldn't see it at all. I remember the last big marine heatwave we had, which was around 1999, 2000. It was a bit more prominent then, but still only a couple of fish. It's always been around in Sydney. It's always been a possibility, but the amount that we've had over the last two seasons has just been crazy. I had one customer took a couple of kingfish and an amberjack home and rang me up and told me they all had it, all three of them. And that's just unheard of, you know, to get when normally you're getting one a year, to get three in one session is just crazy. And I saw a post recently about the boys offshore with the dollies. A lot of the dollies are turning up with it. And, you know, it does get into mud crabs. I don't know if you've ever had one of those mud crabs that you crack open and the flesh is all jelly.
Yeah, and it just all runs out if you cook it. It's as you say, it goes to water. I've had the odd mud crab like that. It's quite common. I always thought it was because they'd recently molted and they're a bit empty, but maybe it's because of the Kadoa. It's the big fish. We're speaking with Craig McGill, who's talking about the Kadoa parasite. And whether it's connected to temperature or not, who knows? Because I'm just reading another IMAS paper from Tasmania here, where they're saying that Kadoa parasite has been identified in striped trumpeter, which are a cold water, deep water fish down off Tasmania. So whether it's actually temperature related or more so that the East Coast current is bringing it down, it's a worldwide phenomena, but it's certainly one that needs more research, I think. Craig, let's hope New South Wales DPI fisheries are looking into it.
Yeah, look, and I've seen it in prawns too. It seems to manifest different in prawns rather than the whole prawn going soft. It'll have patches. You'll have little hollow patches where the flesh is soft. And there's been a lot of things like that over the years that I've noticed, and I've wondered what it was. And now that I've looked more into this Kudoa stuff, I think it explains a lot of the seafood anomalies that I've seen over the years.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And there's got to be some connection, I guess, because we've got this record hot water, perhaps that's it, but definitely more research needed. You know a few of the marine scientists on in the Sydney area. Do you know if any are having a look at this?
I do. A good mate of mine is a marine biologist. He used to work for DPI, but I'm going to have a chat to him and see if he knows any more about it and if any research is being done. One other interesting thing too, I'm good friends with the chef Tetsuya. I remember talking to him once about this, and he said that what he does, when he goes to Sydney fish markets to buy fish for his restaurant, obviously he can't risk anything like that happening. He used to take a little bit of tubular metal, you know, like a tag pole?
Yeah.
So something similar to that.
He would like a tissue sampler.
Yeah, exactly. And he would take a very small tissue sample of any fish that he was thinking of buying. And then he'd have a cigarette lighter in his pocket. He'd pull it out and he'd cook it on the spot with the cigarette lighter in the tube.
He's amazing. Amazing. He's such a meticulous, brilliant fish chef. There'll be a few medicos listening to this who've got biopsy needles. I reckon they'll be carrying them around with them when they go fishing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why you pay the big bucks at Tetsuya, because it's that sort of attention to detail, you know. But and then obviously if this stuff was mushy, then you'd just abandon that fish. And
I wonder if you could do that on the boat without causing too much damage, and then you could release the fish, take a little biopsy, a little tissue sample, quickly put it under heat with a cigarette lighter and see what's what.
Look, it's a possibility, especially if you were tagging a fish too. You know, it's a similar sort of setup where you'd just be taking a little punch out of the side of the thing. But if you depend on the fish. Some fish you've got to get back pretty quick. But I'm interested to see how this method that this guy online told me about, where you push it in and see if the indent holds. I'm going to experiment with that over.
All right. Would you do that experiment? Obviously, there aren't too many controls, and it's not not particularly scientific.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, and it can lead to some kitchen disasters too. I had a dinner party back here a while ago with about 12 people, and I cooked up this kingy on the barbecue, and I knew within seconds of it hitting the heat that I was in trouble, and it just completely fell apart. And yeah, it was a disaster. We ended up having meat pies, which isn't great for your cooking reputation.
No, particularly when you're a fisherman of your note. tight lines, buddy. We'll catch you next time.
Mate. See ya.
On the bloody seagulls.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.